Now from the KSFR Newsroom, at noon looks at the top local news headlines for this Thursday, October 31st.
Santa Fe police are currently handling a gas leak on Airport Road. They say that Airport Road is closed from South Meadows Drive to Calle Atajo due to a leak in a gas line. Police are evacuating the Vista Alegre Apartments and Chamisa Center as a precaution, and the community room at the Genoveva Chavez Community Center is now open for evacuees. The New Mexico Department of Health has announced a fatal case of hantavirus in a 73-year-old woman from Santa Fe County. It's the second case of the rodent-borne disease reported this year in New Mexico. More noteworthy, however, is that this is the first hantavirus pulmonary syndrome death ever documented in a Santa Fe County resident. The health department plans an environmental investigation at the home of the patient to help reduce the risk to others. Hantavirus is most often contracted by inhalation of aerosolized particles of rodent droppings and urine. The U.S. Attorney's New Mexico office and the Drug Enforcement Administration report that 18 people are charged with participating in a three-state drug ring in the Southwest. The federal officials say the ring allegedly obtained methamphetamine from Arizona and Texas, and that the drugs were distributed in Otero and Doña Ana counties in southern New Mexico earlier this year. 12 of the 18 are in custody, the other six charged remain at large. Researchers at Los Alamos National Laboratory are reporting a major breakthrough in development of a vaccine against HIV. The research was conducted in monkeys and used what's called a mosaic vaccine, capable of recognizing the common parts among multiple strains of the virus. The researchers observed an 87 to 90% reduction in the monkeys' probability of becoming infected each time they were exposed to the virus. The strain of the virus used for the study was approximately 100-fold more infectious than typical sexual HIV exposures in humans. Clinical trials of the vaccine are to begin next year. New Mexico Spaceport America is expected to ask state lawmakers to provide $7 million to help finish the road leading to the facility from Las Cruces. That request is made necessary in part by Virgin Galactic's announcement it won't begin space tourism flights until August of 2014, some 6 months later than expected. Virgin is Spaceport's anchor tenant, and the delay means less revenue at hand for the spaceport. Santa Fe City Councilors on Wednesday approved a number of amendments to the city charter that voters will decide upon in a special election next March. Among the proposals is one that would limit campaign contributions. Former City Councilor Karen Heldmeyer, speaking on behalf of the League of Women Voters, supports it.
We favor anything that limits the role of money in campaigns, including limiting campaign contributions in any way that's legal.
Another proposed amendment that broadens mayoral power will be considered by City Hall next month. The recent New Mexico shootings targeting police officers now has the attention of Congress. First District Congresswoman Michelle Lujan Grisham spoke on the House floor Wednesday to praise law enforcement officials and first responders in the wake of the violence.
Officers sprang into action to resolve the situation quickly, prevent more harm, and help their brothers and sisters who had been shot. Firefighters from a nearby station ran into danger to help the injured. And New Mexicans have stepped up to donate thousands of dollars to help the officers and their families during this difficult time.
The four officers wounded in the most recent spate of violence are all expected to make full recoveries. The League of American Bicyclists has recognized Santa Fe as a silver-level bicycle-friendly community. The national advocacy organization says, quote, "The city is investing in bicycling with good results," end quote, noting the $20 million spent in bike infrastructure and facilities since 2006. Councilor Patty Boucher accepted the award at Wednesday's city council meeting and thanked the city's bicycle advocates.
It's just been an amazing outpouring of folks who understand that bicycling is really important, not just to the sustainability of Santa Fe, but also our economic development.
Santa Fe now outranks Albuquerque and Las Cruces in the league's bicycle friendliness survey. Governor Susana Martinez appears in Albuquerque today with Comcast officials to announce the continuation of a program that provides low-cost broadband internet access to qualified families with school-aged children. The three-year-old program is credited with helping some 4,000 families in New Mexico bridge the digital divide. On Wednesday, the governor proposed a new $1.2 million program that would enable teachers to engage parents in their kids' day-to-day school performance with a host of internet tools. Santa Fe Municipal Court is implementing a new case management system that will go live next week. However, because of the transition, the city says no court transactions, including payments, can take place from 3 p.m. today until the start of business Monday morning. Additionally, online payments made through the site PayUSA website will also not be available. The average price for a gallon of gasoline is down 6 cents compared to last week. That word from AAA New Mexico, which says drivers in the land of enchantment are paying $3.11 per gallon, or 38 cents less than a year ago. Santa Fe's average is $3.06. AAA says analysts expect gas prices to decline further as we get closer to the end of the year. Weather for Santa Fe, mostly sunny and cool today, highs in the low 50s. Clear and cold tonight with lows in the upper 20s. It'll be sunny tomorrow with highs in the mid-50s. I'm Tom Tropridge, KSFR News.
Thank you, Tom. And taking a look at Wall Street at midday, the Dow currently off less than 1 point. It stands at 15,618. The NASDAQ up 7 at 3,937. And the S&P 500 up 1 at 1,764. At noon on KSFR, we'll continue in just a moment.
Music and mathematics inspire our hearts and minds. Witness the majesty of music and mathematics Saturday, November 2nd, 7:30 at the Lenzic. Featuring great music, exhilarating video and narrative, Dr. Chris Moore of the Santa Fe Institute illuminates the beauty of music and mathematics with the Santa Fe Symphony. David Feldberg conducting. Saturday, November 2nd, 7:30 at the Lenzic. For tickets, call 988-1234. A message from the tax-exempt Santa Fe Symphony.
12 minutes past the hour, as At Noon now segues to today's feature stories. Our nearby Los Alamos National Laboratory is among the vanguard of cutting-edge technology and scientific research. Now, in a medical research milestone, the lab has announced what is perhaps the most promising news yet in the decades-long worldwide search for an effective vaccine against the human immunodeficiency virus, or HIV for short. A broad-spectrum vaccine, referred to as a mosaic vaccine, has shown unprecedented success in protecting against infection in trials with monkeys. Here to discuss the news with us is Betty Korber, a laboratory fellow at LANL. Betty, can you give us some of the data you're looking at after these trials in simians?
Yes, I can. So in particular, what we've done that's new, that's the advance in this recent trial, is we've taken rhesus macaques, which are the best animal model that we have for studying HIV vaccines. And we vaccinated them with a vaccine design that we came up in the theoretical biology group here at Los Alamos that could potentially provide global coverage. And then we challenged those monkeys after they've been vaccinated by exposing them to a very potent SHIV virus, it's called, the blend of SIV and HIV. And those monkeys don't get infected at nearly the same pace that they do if you don't give them the vaccine. And then if they do eventually get infected, they have a much better survival outcome. So that's the new thing. And we had known these vaccines give very potent, very broad immune responses based on previous work in monkeys. What we didn't know is if they would really be protective, and these new results are very encouraging.
HIV has been a global scourge for over 30 years now. Is it an overstatement to say that at this point in the research, this seems to be the most efficacious vaccine so far?
I think that this vaccine has a lot of promise in monkeys. There's some other ideas that have been showing promise in monkeys as well that are very different kinds of strategies. So there's a few promising candidates, but this is a... Among the front runners, I think, and people are now looking to move these. They're called mosaic vaccines. They're looking to move them into human trials. So the first thing you do with a human trial is you do a small trial that tests safety and what looks at the immune response, and we're very encouraged by these animal results.
Betty, let's put a little bit of a finer point on this term mosaic vaccine for our listeners. Would it be correct to say that a mosaic vaccine is one that addresses commonalities among the broad spectrum of HIV variants?
It does. It doesn't just look at conserved regions. It looks at whole proteins, but it finds it's a computer algorithm that selects a set of vaccines that, in combination, will give you the best global coverage. So it's really intended to be a global vaccine, and it wouldn't work differently in Africa, in U.S., in Europe. It would at least theoretically have the same kind of benefit in every location. And if you use natural strains, they're genetic groupings that would maybe make it more plausible to go in with a South African strain in South Africa or a U.S. strain in the U.S. But this one tries to get at a global central kind of picture with just a couple of different proteins in combination.
And Betty, let's talk a little bit about the role of Los Alamos in this. For instance, you working with others there, how long have you been engaged in this project and with whom?
Well, I've been working on HIV since 1990 at Los Alamos. And we have something at Los Alamos, which is a global service that I'm part of the HIV database project. And in that project, we bring together all of the global HIV sequences that investigators collect from all over the world. And we also bring together all of the data on HIV immune responses to natural infection and to vaccines. And we have a database that we pull that all together and we give it back out to researchers. And I use that database for my own research to try to get a sense of how HIV varies in response to the immune system and over time. So our HIV work at Los Alamos is all theoretical, all done on computers. But we work with really wonderful colleagues all over the world, but I have two particularly strong collaborations with Dan Baruch at Harvard, who led the particular study that we're talking about right now. So it was his laboratory that made these constructs, and he studies a certain kind of vector, which is a way of carrying in the HIV part of the vaccine. That's got a lot of good advantages. So it's not only the HIV insert, but the vector. And Dan's laboratory works on those vectors, and so we've teamed up, and he conducted these monkey studies. We also work with a group at Duke University who also test some of the vaccine ideas that we've been developing here.
Is there a possibility that a vaccine, such as this one that you're working on, might it offer any hope for those who are presently infected in terms of defeating the variations that spontaneously arise and cause illness anew in those people already infected?
So you've actually brought up a really good point. HIV evolves in every infected person, and so it is a highly variable virus, and that's one of the real challenges for coming up with a vaccine. You need to expose your human immune response to a variant of HIV or a couple of variants of HIV and hope that the immune response that you get to that variant would be cross-reactive and have great breadth and cover the other variants that the person might be infected with. And the particular vaccine we're looking at, what we're hoping that it might do is either really inhibit or prevent infection in the first place, or if a person is infected who's been vaccinated, help them contain the virus and make their immune response stronger and more potent, so they have low viral loads and stay healthier and are less infectious. So the particular vaccine that is addressed in this study would be more a protective vaccine. However, there are really some elegant studies going on right now that are giving hope for a therapeutic vaccine, and a therapeutic vaccine would be one that you could give to an infected person and strengthen their immune response to help them contain the virus better. The problem with HIV is twofold. One, it evolves in the person, and two, it has latent reservoirs, so you stay infected. So people who are on therapy pretty much have to be on therapy for life, and you have to take a combination of drugs. You can't just take one drug because HIV evolves so fast. If you only take one drug, it will just evolve resistance quite quickly. So vaccines are much less expensive. They're things you don't have to take for life. They're not harsh drugs. They're sort of a natural way to wake up your own immune system to prevent infection in the first place. So there's still a big place for vaccines, even though the drugs are working so beautifully and helping so many people.
What are plans or timeline for translating this into human trials?
We've gone forward with plans for phase one trials in humans, and in fact are enrolling in a MOSAIC trial right now, starting this month, our first phase one study in humans. A phase one study won't show if it protects because you give it to low-risk people, but it will tell us if it's safe, and it will tell us if people, human beings, also make good responses like the monkeys did. The response you see in monkeys doesn't always translate to human, so you have to determine that in humans before you go to a larger-scale trial. So the safety and immunogenicity of these vaccines are being tested right now. The first shots have gone into people's arms this month.
Betty Korber with the Los Alamos National Laboratory, many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR.
Programming on KSFR is underwritten in part by Medlin Mechanical, a full-service plumbing company specializing in green energy solutions for homes and business in the Santa Fe area for over 5 years. Medlin Mechanical's geothermal and solar systems are designed to cut energy costs and reduce carbon footprint. And tax credits for new systems are available through 2016. To learn more, visit medlinmechanical.com or call 577-8087. That's 577-8087.
Today is Halloween. We all know what that means in the contemporary sense. Carved pumpkins with candles illuminating windows or walkways, kids trick-or-treating at your door, and even boisterous adults in costumes pretending to be something they're ordinarily not. And all of it against a spooky backdrop of black cats, witches, and ghosts. But a closer look at the day's origins puts all that into perspective. Halloween is, arguably, the second most popular holiday, right behind Christmas. It dates back some 2,000 years. The Celtic name for the day is Samhain, meaning summer's end, and it was the last day of the year in the Celtic calendar. The Druids, an ancient culture from Ireland and the UK, used it as an occasion to honor their dead. It was also entwined with a harvest festival and marked with huge bonfires to mark the end of the old year and the start of the new. The Celts believed the souls of the dead roamed the streets and villages at night. Since not all spirits were thought to be friendly, gifts and treats were left out to pacify the evil and ensure next year's crops would be plentiful. This custom evolved into trick-or-treating. Halloween is referred to as All Hallows' Eve, the evening before All Saints' Day, which was created by Christians to convert pagans and is celebrated on November 1st. Though we now celebrate Halloween without direct reference to pagan rituals and the occult, it remains a time for a fantasy immersion into superstition and scary thrills. Perhaps most significant in our modern era is the fact that Halloween spending nears a total of $5 billion in the U.S., according to the National Retail Federation. That figure translates to about $65 per person, a fact which some people may consider scary in and of itself.
He did the mash. He did the monster mash. The monster mash.
KSFR programming is underwritten in part by PNM, currently providing a recycling program for old refrigerators. PNM will pick up old refrigerators for free and then safely remove the coolant so it doesn't pollute the environment. They'll recycle as much of the refrigerator as possible. If you have a question for PNM, you can talk to them on Twitter or Facebook or visit PNM online at pnm.com.
23 minutes past the hour as At Noon continues. And with today being Halloween, Santa Fe police have compiled some safety tips they hope Santa Feans will pay mind to this afternoon and evening. Selena Westervelt from the police department joins us now. Selena, what's the word from our officers?
The police department will have extra patrols out tonight, looking for drunk drivers and any suspicious activity, just making sure that everybody in the city is safe. And then for trick-or-treaters and those handing out candy, we have a couple of common sense tips and maybe some things you haven't thought about. So the first one is always make sure trick-or-treaters are carrying flashlights or glow sticks, have reflective tape on their costumes, are visible to cars. You don't want anybody getting hit. And make sure that you're trick-or-treating in well-lit areas and neighborhoods that you're familiar with. It's also advised to leave a map of your trick-or-treat route at home with your parents, or always have an adult know the route that you're taking when you go to collect your candy. For those handing out candy, something interesting this year that I had read, it is cold and flu season, and it's recommended instead of having a big bowl of candy and letting the kids reach into it and grab whatever they want, you can help prevent some of the spread of germs by handing out that candy individually. Of course, we always want those treats to be individually wrapped and sealed, and parents to check those treats before their kids eat anything. Don't let them be eating candy as they're going along their route. And then for drivers, make sure you slow down in those residential areas and look for pedestrians that might be darting across the street, hyped up on candy and ready to get to the next house. Just make sure you take it slow, do well-lit areas, and be mindful of the traffic that's out there.
Of course, having lots of people out and about is generally a good thing in terms of property crime, in that it doesn't afford as many opportunities for criminals to avoid detection. Yet it also could be seen as an opportunity to get lost in the crowd, so to speak, were someone contemplating an act of criminal mischief. We'd imagine our police officers plan to be alert for any signs of bad intentions, yes?
It's a really good way to meet your neighbors. Everybody's going to be out and about. Say hi, shake hands, get familiar with your neighbors in your neighborhood, so that way you're helping promote that neighborhood watch sort of feeling in the area. And we'll just keep on doing our jobs. If you see something suspicious, don't hesitate to call. That's what we're there for. And you can call the police department at 428-3710.
Selena Westervelt with Santa Fe Police, many thanks for joining us here at KSFR's At Noon News Hour. Meanwhile, Major Ken Johnson says the Santa Fe County Sheriff's Office will likewise be on heightened alert to protect public safety.
We're going to have additional officers out just for that purpose, only to check any calls that come in regarding Halloween or suspicious people and things of that nature for tonight. The last few Halloweens have been pretty quiet, and we've upped our staff out there, and we just want to make a presence out in the public that we are watching, that we are patrolling, and that we're, you know, keeping an eye on everyone's safety.
At Noon on KSFR will continue in just a moment.
Music and mathematics inspire our hearts and minds. Witness the majesty of music and mathematics Saturday, November 2nd, 7:30 at the Lenzic. Featuring great music, exhilarating video and narrative, Dr. Chris Moore of the Santa Fe Institute illuminates the beauty of music and mathematics with the Santa Fe Symphony, David Felberg conducting. Saturday, November 2nd, 7:30 at the Lenzic. For tickets, call 988-1234. A message from the tax-exempt Santa Fe Symphony.
1227 here in the KSFR newsroom. And as we roll towards the bottom of the hour, that, of course, is the perfect time to spend 60 seconds with our resident curmudgeon, Christopher Hagen.
Here we are. It's Christmas already. How the heck did that happen? I don't even recall mailing gifts to family and cards to friends. Oh, that's right. I don't have any friends. Now, I'm kidding about all of this. It's Halloween, as you know. I just found out. I haven't had time to buy any candy, so I'll be handing out what's in my fridge. Broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, asparagus. Are you kidding me? I don't keep that kind of stuff in my fridge. Instead, I'll be handing out to the kiddies beer and or wine coolers. And for the older teens, shots of tequila. What? Are you nuts? I wouldn't do anything like that and especially tell you about it. Halloween probably derives from the pagan Celtic harvest festival, when the year's crop of candy would be harvested, which is why we give out candy on Halloween. Wearing costumes on Halloween also has a Celtic origin. Sometimes people would steal the candy before it was harvested, and they would wear costumes so they weren't recognized and Celt. I'm not going to apologize. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.
And with that, we conclude today's edition of At Noon, KSFR's extended noon news hour. Dan Garrity with you here at Mike, along with thanks to my contributing colleague today, Tom Trowbridge. We'll be back with more news of and for New Mexico for you tomorrow, and as always, we hope you join us.